Previously on Algoa FM.
All right, Algoa Country, time for Mythbusters. And tonight, I'm so excited to be chatting to a multi-award-winning South African comedian and writer who's really earned his place as one of SA's most formidable comedians, performing alongside industry greats, featured on Trevor Noah's Nation Wild. He's been on BBC World Service, toured all over the world, right? I'm talking Belgium, Germany, Zambia, USA, even Southeast Asia. And following his first one-man show, So Naive, he's now bringing us this new show, Tsitsi Live, all about the misadventures of being a newly minted adult. It's all going down in Qabecha at One Room. So we're going to chat a little bit more about that too. But I'm talking to the one and only Tsitsi Chumia. Tsitsi, welcome to Mythbusters. How are you?
Good and alive with possibilities.
I love that. I think we missed what you did in the beginning. Were you saying yay? What were you saying?
I was saying shapa, yay, yay.
No, I love it. Tsitsi, I'm so glad that you're here. You know, Mythbusters is really all about just kind of debunking some myths that go with what you do for a living, right? Or just who you are. And I mean, people always say that comedians were the class clowns back in school. So is this true? Kind of take me back to where it all started.
I think for me, growing up, because I grew up in such a, you know, when you grow up in a household full of different personalities and a lot of personalities, meaning like a lot of people, the only thing that you would want is for people to see you for who you are.
Yeah.
And for me, the best way to do that was, you know, my cousins we took on other kinds of art and other kinds of, you know, dodgy activities. And for me, I just wanted to be seen through the things that I thought. And the best way would be to express those things was through comedy and being loud and being proud of who I am and stuff like that. And that came through comedy. And I think that worked out for me because I could express myself through comedy.
Yeah.
I could express myself. And also, like, I realized from a young age, like, my uncle was a funny guy, but he was also mischievous. And I always say this, people who are funny and mischievous, people, they always forget the mischievous part if you're funny.
That's
they
true.
Always like kind of say, yeah, no, this is like that. You understand? So I hated. And later in my years, I kind of started seeing the art behind being mischievous. So I'm an artistic mischievous person.
And for how long have you been an artistic mischievous person for?
I have no idea.
Really?
I don't even like. I think it's about 7 years or 8 years, but it is more than 5 years. That's one thing I know. You know, like the first time you start making money from the first time you start doing comedy is so far in, like, it's such a long time before you start making money or you start making it a profession that you don't. I enjoy it so much. Like, I don't know if people understand or. I enjoy doing comedy so much.
Wow.
I enjoy putting ideas together so much that I have lost track of time. But I do think it's about 7 or 8 years around that time. I can't tell you. I'd be lying.
Yeah. Listen, for 5 to 7 years, I think you've really created such a beautiful career. Our listeners have three myths that they've come up with just when it comes to being a comedian. So I kind of want to get into those ones already. And the first one is that comedians are always on, or comedians will always make jokes. Like, you can't have a serious conversation with someone who's a comedian. Do you think that this is true? This has got to be a myth, right?
That one is false. I think because of the nature of comedy, you always have to be the one that is analytical of a lot of things. And a lot of things that comedy stems from are not really happy places. We just make happy places out of situations that are not necessarily that happy. And especially for my comedy specifically, I'm very personal about the stuff that I talk about. And it doesn't necessarily come from the most greener pastures. but I make green pastas out of that because I don't want to be a slave of my situations, whatever it is, whatever the situation in the country is. I mean, I don't think there's any joke that's quotable today that comes from a happy place, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but to be happy, I'm funny because I'm happy, you know.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of racial politics in comedy, you know, for the comedy that I watched as a kid, as a child. There was a lot of racial politics in that. And those racial politics don't necessarily come from a happy place.
Yes.
You know, so I have learned to look at things in a brighter way because of my profession. And also because of me growing up, you know, growing up in a household where you don't get toys or whatever it is that you don't get,
yeah,
you learn to kind of like just look past those situations and look at the bright, you know, not necessarily the brighter side, but look at the alternative side to what you are not being offered. And that is where I place my comedy. That's where my comedy stems from.
You touched a little bit on personal life experiences, you know, and that brings me into one of the other myths. And I think you kind of sort of answered it, that you use your personal life experiences as material. But have you ever maybe lied in one of your jokes? Like, are all of your jokes true? Like, all of them, like, that's your life?
Yeah, I think fundamentally, I will say, it's the truth. Is a bit of, you know, mixed spice on top of a lot of the truth, but I do try. Yeah, I mean, like, everyone knows spice, you know. I guess even hip-hop songs didn't have spice, you know. Some people say they've been shot 15 times, but it was like, you know, they shot at the person 15 times. I'm not saying that it's cooler to get shot 15 times than it is to get shot once. It's not cool to be shot at all. There is a little bit of experience. So I would take, let me give you a little bit of my secret.
Yes.
I will take my uncle, for instance. I'll take one person, and then I will fit in a lot of the personalities that that person might encompass. So I will take maybe three uncles of mine and make them one.
Yes.
Because it's an easier story to tell, and it's a more relatable story to tell. So I guess if you're talking truth or fact in terms of like special assignment and carte blanche, yes, it is a lie. But if you're talking about life, I don't think I've ever told a lie on stage about anybody in my life. And that's why they haven't come and complained or asked for money.
That would have been super awkward if that happened, eh?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but no, it hasn't happened yet. I fortunately have a very supportive family and support system behind me that will, and friends and stuff. So they will always allow for me to express myself in the best way, because they know that my intention is never to tell a lie about a specific person or whatever.
You know what? It's so beautiful to have the support of family and friends in that career that you do, you know? And I mean, speaking of support, sometimes people might not support your views or maybe things that you talk about, you know, and this brings me into being politically correct, because you did touch a little bit on politics and just race and whatnot. Do you ever feel the pressure to be politically correct? Because it feels like sometimes comedians, like, you just go left, like you really go in there. Do you feel the pressure sometimes or not really?
Absolutely not. I didn't get into this career to be politically correct. I didn't get into this career to be right. I didn't get into this career to make anybody happy but myself and the people that I represent and the people that follow me. I feel like if somebody's going to be, you know, I was raised in a certain way, and my grandmother, my grandfather, my mom and my stepdad have raised me in a way that I understand my responsibilities towards making another person feel human.
Yeah.
And I don't have any intention or ill intention of making somebody else feel belittled in any way whatsoever. So I don't feel the responsibility to be right all the time. I'm a human being. And being a human being comes with a lot of mistakes, comes with a lot of misrepresentations when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
It comes with, and I accept those responsibilities and mistakes as much as I accept a good joke. And I don't think that me focusing on being correct will actually do me personally before anyone else anything. I mean, we come from circumstances that are not right, and they're not politically correct to us. So why would the representation of our own situations be politically correct? You know, we are always forced to have this, you know, good and well-accepted way of expressing ourselves. But I don't think that's the way to move forward. I mean, there's a lot of people that disagree with a lot of things that are socially accepted, and they're okay. So I'm okay with accepting exactly who I am at this point. If I'm wrong in 10 years' time, I will apologize for 10 years before. But I won't overthink, because already we are already overthinkers. Hey. Everybody's an overthinker. Everybody overthinks every single thing. So why don't you... I will confidently take on the task of being wrong, but as Titi. So if you do feel like I'm wrong, say Titi is wrong, and then come tell me exactly what it is, and I'll tell you what I feel about it. And if I'm still wrong, then I was wrong for you, not for anybody. Because that is a short career anyway. I've been in comedy long enough to know, and I've done comedy long enough and everywhere, that I know that, you know, perspective does really matter. This is my perspective. And if you are a follower of the stuff that I do, then you should be able to take on my perspective and understand it as me, not anybody else. I think that I'm in the space to make people happy. If I wanted really to make people happy, you know, I would have been dancing on an advert or something like that.
Nah, I hear you. Oh man, Titi, I really wish we had more time just to kind of unpack. I feel like you have so much wisdom, but you've got this quick wit. I mean, your humor is incredible. I feel like I've seen you live as well, if I'm not mistaken. And before I let you go, I need to ask you about your show that's happening in Rebecca at One Room. Tell me more about it.
Yes. 19th and 20th of April. I'm coming down to Rebecca for the very first time, not even just for a show. For the first time ever, I'm going to... Yeah.
No, you need the applause. Yeah. You need the applause.
Yeah, Bulela. Yeah. It's my first time ever in Rebecca, and it, you know, what more, what better time to do, and what better experience for me to do than to have a show for myself. It's my new tour, my new one-man show. Pop Pops Modikwane is coming over to support me and my comedy and my brother's life. And it's going to be one of those shows that is just coming from the real place, and it's real time. It's a young, you know, like young people, we haven't gotten our representation in a very long time. You know, I mean, every time people talk about young people, they talk about Mandela and all that stuff, which is great, but you know, you know, it's so past our time and it's so past our experiences that we need to talk about the things that we are facing. You know, I was never ready to be a young adult. I thought that, you know, the youngness that they sold us, they always told us, you guys are the future. And when you become the future, you're like, oh, where's this future that they were talking about? And that's what, and that's what my show is coming from, that perspective of just growing up and realizing all the responsibilities that it comes with being a breadwinner, being responsible for your elders, being respectful to your elders at the same time as being critical to all the things that they've done. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can commend from our elders, but, you know, there's a lot of things that we also face, and it's the first time that we face it. Our parents have never had to pay, you know, I'm not saying right now maybe, but they've never had to grow up and budget for Wi-Fi and all those things that we have to budget for on a regular, and it's normal.
Yes.
So all these things, it's all these experiences encompassed in this show. And if you are a person and you feel like being a human being and not being a black human, no, I'm not saying being black is is whatever. But you know, like they encompass your whole existence and your race and all this stuff. But then you realize that your life requires more than you just being a black man that's thriving, that's doing all these things, or being a white person, or whatever it is that you are. There's so much more to growing up that we haven't really even talked about because it's seen as taboo.
Yeah.
It's seen as all these, you know, weird terms that they use, all these English terms that they use, and saying that, you know, it's not even the English part, that it's just the way they on you. So it's like all those frustrations being exposed in a comedic way. I feel like it's time for us to have a real conversation. Why are we, you know, upset at our leaders? Why are we upset at all these people?
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about it in a safe manner, in a comedic way, in an honest manner. And I guess that's what I'm bringing. And I'm so excited. I'm really, really excited. It's the first of the shows. And I'm glad that, you know, Kaveha opened up the one room via GQComedy.com, that they came through and they just said, Titi, we want to have you here.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, Kavechans, I don't know if that's what you call them, or a lot of Kavechans have opened their arms and their ticket buying power to me, which is something that I always really appreciate.
Oh, Titi, as you heard it here first, I'll go a country, or should I say Kabechans. We can catch him at One Room in Kabecha on the 19th and 20th of April. The show starts at 7:30. Please do get your tickets at Web Tickets. And that's it. Titi, man, your show is going to be absolutely incredible. I'll see you there. I really want to come. I'm going to make it.
Yeah, please come. Bring your father, your mother, everybody. I mean, if you have any of those two, but yeah, father, mother, come through. It's a PG show, so it's not going to be, you know, a lot of, side pocket stuff. But just come through and have fun. This is going to be the start of something really big. One day, maybe Lennar Tavare Leko di Kremi, see Dulujedi Sowawan.
Yes.
Let's start this journey. It's really been an incredible journey of my comedy career. And this is a part that I really want to share with South Africa as a whole. But Kavechans first.
Yes, Kavechans first. We'll see you at One Room on 19th and 20th of April. Titi, thank you so much for joining us on Algo FM.
Shapa.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.